Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Bleav Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating.
Another episode back, and this time we're all here.
Yeah,
there's no portal action happening for Fun Belt Podcast, but I tell you, Jeremy, Shane, our teams are taking beatings when it comes yes. to the immediate eligibility ruling from the NCAA, as well as the portal, knowing guys are leaving campus for the perceived greener pastures on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, you know, April 16th, I guess it was yesterday, was when there's the official spring portal opening. It's from April 16th to the 30th, and it's just like a gold rush, right? Or like a land rush in Oklahoma, where everybody hops on their wagon and tries to get to a stake in time. That's what's happening in the college football landscape. All these guys, all these people are like, I'm getting out of here. At Arkansas State, for instance, our world-class kicker, he's gone. Our starting defensive end, he's gone. Our backup defensive ends, gone. Backup quarterback, gone. They're all gone. They're leaving. And Georgia State had like 13 guys go. 13 guys. Where are they going?
BetOnline is not only my favorite source of online betting, it is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Well, you had an interesting word in a lot of the ones you were saying, though, like backup. And I think that's going to be the problem with like teams trying to have depth, though, is like some guy you realize during the spring, you're second string and you're looking for a place to go be first string.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need second stringers. That's like, well, I mean, beyond the losing guys to NIL and star players going for greener pastures and stuff, I feel like trying to build depth and continuity is the even tougher thing when, like, a guy who might play but just maybe isn't going to start,
yeah,
bolting now, like, as the spring games show them where they are.
Yeah, when you're four games into the season, Shane, and you start seeing that those injuries start piling up, you don't have that second wave, third wave of guys to come in. Yeah, it makes a difference. I'll tell you what, though, what irritated me the most, Tibbs, was the starting defensive end for Arkansas State, who left. A talented guy named Kieron Crawford led the team in sacks last year. But, you know, as a fan, you watch this guy grow from a freshman who didn't know his ass from his elbow to a sophomore who you could see he's finally getting it together. He's faster. He's quicker. You're like, yes, The school has put time into this guy. He's getting into the weight room. He's eating right. He's learning technique. Look, he's gotten to the point where he can break through the offensive line and do whatever he wants. This guy could be a star for the team. And then he's gone, which I'm like, fine. Okay, that's the way it's set up. It's not Kieron Crawford's fault. But my God, what does Arkansas State get out of that, Tibbs, for all that polishing, all that training, all that buildup of this talent, and suddenly Mr. Monocle McMoneybags comes rolling in and says, I am going to take you. Ha ha ha, and I don't have to invest a single hour of work into it. Why can't we figure this out, Tibbs?
Because the NCAA is lazy and doesn't want to shit or get off the pot to decide what exactly is fair, what exactly should happen for student athletes. And nobody wants to kind of draw the line in the sand. And I think we saw that even more so with this recent legal battle where guys that are transferring are now immediately eligible. And they can transfer time and time and time again and continue to be eligible. So you're right. What does Arkansas State get out of that? Maybe the opportunity to finally lose to ULM after 20 years or whatever it is.
Not happening.
But I thought about this some today before we started recording there, Jeremy, and I really like, I think it was you that even proposed this, that there's kind of a developmental fee. Your guy goes to Alabama. Okay, great. Here's how much money it cost you of what we have invested in this kid.
Yeah.
We need our money back.
Yeah. I proposed that when Miami swooped in and plucked Norchad Omier, the basketball player from Arkansas State. Arkansas State had spent 2-3 years really polishing this kid, right? I mean, gave him skills. I mean, you could see it happening. You're like, okay, this kid is ready. And then Miami's like, great. I'm glad he's ready. He's prepackaged. The bow's on top. We'll take it from here. And we get nothing out of that. Arkansas State got nothing out of that. So, yeah, I don't know how you do that. I wrote an article about that with no real solution. Of course, got panned for it. Shane, can we create a developmental fee for larger schools taking smaller school talent?
I don't know about that, but I think the end game for this is going to be declaring that those players can be employees and then you collective bargain with them. Everybody says, like, oh, it's just free agency. But you know what? Free agency in the NBA and the NFL is an absolute chaos like this because they have collectively bargained rules on how this works. And like, if you sign with a team for 2 years or for 4 years, you're there until your contract runs out. And that's the way it's going to have to be fixed. Like, the NCAA has got to like come to the realization that we've created this mess because we treated players like employees so long without giving them any of those rights of being employees. And now we're losing every battle in court. Like, we've got to go to the table and negotiate how this is going to work, because just not having any rules doesn't work for anybody, really. Players,
but what's that blowback going to be like the first time where, I'm sorry, Jeremy, you dropped the game winning touchdown on Saturday. So, we're going to revoke your scholarship. You don't work here anymore.
Well, I think, you know, that's something they got to negotiate is, okay, like, well, your scholarship, do you want to sign a 2-year deal or a 4-year deal? And that's how long your scholarship is guaranteed for. And that's how long you're staying here. You know, maybe some players will say, I'm going to sign for 2 years because I think in 2 years I can jump to the Big Ten or whatever. Or maybe they'll want to be guaranteed for 4 years or whatever. But they've got to sit down with like representations of players, whether it's a union or whatever, and come up with a system, because there's just no system now. And, you know, I feel like free agency is fine. Players having the right to do things, it's fine. But it's not just a free for all in the NBA or the NFL. They have a structure to how you go about exercising your rights. And, like, there's nothing in college right now.
Wow, the chain, that is, you know what that is? That's reigning truth and wisdom. This is why we have him on the show, Dusty. He's like the only one of us with the cerebral power to come up with something so perfect. Shane, well, congratulations.
There are guys we should get on the show actually to talk about this.
Oh.
Like, you know, actually, like a Mitt Winter. Have you guys followed like Mitt Winter, Sam Fetcherman or something? I can't remember his name now, but there are sports lawyers who post this stuff on Twitter all the time. And like, you know, they've convinced me, and I think they convinced a lot of people, that that's the only way this ends is the NCAA saying, okay, we're going to collectively bargain and figure this out.
So one solution Tibbs and I had, which was awesome, is franchise tagging athletes on the team. You can't have
that. Might be something that gets worked out in those negotiations, though. I doubt the players go for that, but it could be something if there's like something in exchange for it.
My favorite part about the franchise tag is when an NFL player gets tagged with it, and it's just like, hey, you're like, you're still making some pretty good jack, but yeah. I get why they don't like it, but
I can still only think of the movie Semi-Pro, though, where the guy gets traded for a washing machine. At what point are we going to see that transaction happen? Because, you know, Arkansas State, they just don't have the money for a new dryer, a new washing machine, maybe the jugs machine to be able to throw BP in baseball. And then can you cross trade? Could you trade that backup point guard for the new pitching machine in baseball? Like, they're willing to work it out. Is it a couple dozen balls maybe for a punter?
It should go full barter system, like the way you said, like a keg of nails or a barrel of flour for like a kicker or a relief pitcher or something like that. That would be great. Yeah. This is the system we should recommend to the NCAA.
Yeah. We like your kicker. Well, you know what? We really could use a golf, or golf team could really use a van.
Just so happened. Yeah, I think we figured it out, guys. Well done. You know, to wrap up this discussion of the transfer portal, you can take a look at HowlRaiser.com. I've been tracking all the comings and goings from the basketball and from football. Yesterday was pretty crazy. With the opening of the portal, people are still going in. People are still being picked up. Old Dominion, Arkansas State, and Georgia State had probably the most action. But everybody pretty much had one or two guys. ULM is seeing a little bit more action. Dusty, I believe he had a quarterback and maybe a wide receiver take off. But yeah, so everybody's going to kind of have to, I don't know. It was kind of funny. It's like you don't even know if you go to your spring game, the team you're watching in spring game is going to be the team that you see on opening day. But so,
yeah, I think that's one of the more frustrating things. Like, I get talking about, you know, what makes sense and what's fair for the players. I think that's one of the more emotional reactions I get from fans, that you think they have the two portal windows. And it's like, you think you're in the clear after the season ends, and then you have to go through it all again in the spring. Like, you know, you feel like, oh, God, he decided to come back, and you kind of forget, like, we'll see what happens after the spring game.
Well, yeah, and I was like, well, okay, I get it. I feel like maybe the spring one should be the only one, because it's like after a spring practice, you kind of know where you stand with the team. The coach is already like, it'd be good if we had somebody other than you in this position. So I feel like that would be better than did they change that, Shane? I know that people were griping about that December portal window.
They might have changed the dates a little bit, but it's still there.
Okay. I thought I know there's some gripes about it kind of interfering with the bowl schedule, which it does. And it's just kind of a stupid time to have a portal open. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
So Tibbs, what do you know about Sun Belt baseball?
I know that ULM over the weekend was able to pick up two of three games against Texas State.
Yeah.
Maybe a little surprising, but, you know, weird things happen on the Bayou, so that was a pleasant surprise.
Voodoo.
The Raging Cajuns had their long winning streak snapped by Louisiana Tech, something that we were actually in the process of recording last episode when that happened. but they rebounded nicely and continued their winning streak through the Sun Belt Conference. They're sitting on top. They have one loss to a
who did they lose to? Let me know.
Way bottom dweller team.
Why don't you say their name? I want to hear it.
The Arkansas State Indians.
Ooh, look at it. Oh, come on. Oh, don't be a sore sport.
No. I think it's just weird that the Cajuns are really the most dominant team that I don't think we really expected that out of them.
No, we did not.
But Coastal Carolina is getting all the accolades, even though they're a distant second.
Yeah, and maybe one of you guys who follow this a little closer than I do can explain that for me, because it does feel like Coastal Carolina is one of the more vulnerable teams out there that people keep talking about being a contender.
Well, I think maybe we'll find out coming up, because Louisiana and Coastal have their series coming up. It's in Conway. Ooh. Maybe the Chanticleers can make up a little bit of ground if they can get two or three wins there. And, you know, I'm kind of pouring over Louisiana's schedule. Like, it's not bad, but, you know, maybe they're also a little bit of a one of those teams that's got the tough run later in the conference schedule. I'm not saying they're going to come back to the pack, but it wouldn't necessarily shock me either if that race gets a little bit closer here soon.
Oh, okay. So you kind of believe in Coastal?
Kind of. I mean, I think it's a pretty balanced conference. I think, you know, even though Louisiana has that lofty record right now, I think for the most part, and that we'll probably see in the tournament, that a lot of teams can beat each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was a big sentiment I got this past weekend. Had a chance to catch up briefly with ULM head coach Mike Federico.
Nice.
You know, he was like, this league is crazy. He goes, you try to prepare day in, day out for the games, for the series, but it's still not enough that these teams are just beating up on one another. And any given day, you could wind up getting a win just as easy as you could a loss. And I really think that that's what we're seeing through and through. I think even if we pick on the Red Wolves there at 4-11 overall, it's not necessarily the easy out, right? I mean, they're in the games pretty much until late in the game. But
it's the seventh inning.
It's a shame we play 9 innings, though.
Yeah, right? We should stop at 6. I would be happy with that.
But no, I think that even when you can look at that very bottom dweller team and say, man, you know, we're definitely going to have to play a pretty good game to even have a chance to get this win, speaks volumes to the depth of the league.
Guys, we have 5 teams in second place with 9-6 records. Georgia State, Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, Troy, and Coastal Carolina. That's as much evidence of parity as anything, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, even below them, you know, then the next 4 or 5 teams are all within a couple games or 3 games of that group. I mean, things could change hugely over the course of one weekend. Like, if teams start getting sweeps or doing different things, it looks like it's a fun race, and but I can't claim to have any idea what's going to happen here in the last few weeks, where anybody's going to end up.
We have 3 teams that are 6-9, which is nice. Oh, guys, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, 2 of those teams, South Alabama and Texas State, traditionally, usually amongst the top, not this year, just down years, guys, or has the Sun Belt caught up with them?
For Texas State, at least, it's just a down year. It's a reloading year. They lost so much from last year. They still have a great set of middle infielders there with Chase Moore and Lugo up the middle. But, you know, you still got to have some arms to pitch, and they just don't have that pitching staff that they've had here over the past few years. They're coming. It's just not this year.
Okay. Yeah. At South Alabama, you just never know. Maybe they just got some of that Kane Womack disappointment going on, in Mobile. Maybe that's what's happening. Shane, do you have the RPI rankings pulled up?
I do.
I knew you did. I had an idea. I thought you did. All right.
Yeah.
Who looks good? Not necessarily in overall wins or losses, but who looks good in the RPI right now?
Coastal does in particular. Okay. Number 16 RPI. Would think they're probably pretty much a lock to make the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happens. Uh-huh. You know, in the Sun Belt tournament, assuming they finish the regular season strong, but they're in really good shape. Sort of surprisingly, James Madison is still 25 in RPI right now. Yeah. They lost 2 of 3 at ODU this past weekend. They're kind of a mystery team to me, to be honest. Like, I don't know what to expect from JMU game in, game out. But then it's bunched up a lot after that when you talk about Sun Belt RPI. Southern Miss 46, ODU 49, the Cajuns 53, Georgia Southern 58, Troy 61. Like, that's a lot of teams all right in that same neighborhood. Just like in the standings. Just like in the standings. Like,
yeah,
we see a lot of shifting, I think, both RPI and standing wise here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, you know, I've seen projections, Tibbs, of anywhere between 2 teams making the tournament and 6 teams making the tournament. What's the reality, Tibbs?
I think we're looking at a top four making it. And that really depends on what happens in Montgomery in that tournament. Okay. I do think there's some teams that need to at least make it out of the first 2 days of the tournament in order to kind of seal those bids. But I could see this being a 4-bid league this year.
Yeah, it should be, right? I mean, that's kind of the reason why we got some of these guys, like Coastal, for instance. We wanted to build up baseball, and it's happening. And maybe that same thing's happening to basketball. You know, Shane, maybe you just jumped the gun a little bit. Maybe it's not this year that basketball is going to be the big sport. Maybe it's going to be this year. I don't know. I don't know why I jumped to basketball. I'm just always excited about basketball now. Not excited about baseball because the Red Wolves really suck. But 4 teams into the tournament seems reasonable to me.
I think so. I mean, to me, it's
all right, Shane, can you take it from the top, please?
No, I quit.
What was the question? What were we talking about? What was that?
I don't know.
We're talking about RPI. It was bunched up in the middle.
4 teams.
I said it was hard to figure out maybe the NCAA tournament field because the teams that have the high RPIs aren't necessarily winning the conference series.
Okay. All right.
But looking at the big picture, the Sun Belt's sitting right now as 5th overall in conference rankings.
Who's that ahead of?
We're a P5. We are ahead of the likes of the WAC.
Eat it, WAC.
Missouri Valley.
Eat it, Missouri Valley.
Southland.
Eat it, Southland.
SoCon.
Eat it, SoCon.
Big East.
Eat it, Big East.
Big Ten.
Eat it, Big Ten.
And the American.
Eat a big one, American. Yeah. Ah, that showed them. We'll probably get some letters now.
And of course, far and above the Summit, the SWAC, and the Northeast.
Okay. Well, it should be that. Shane, you're still with us. We're just not in the video feed, right?
Yeah, I turned my video off because I was getting slow.
That's too bad, because Shane, you, as we mentioned before, you are the best dressed among us. And it was nice, it was pleasant just looking at you. So.
On the other diamond there, Jeremy, that you know nothing about, softball.
I know nothing about it. I know nothing about softball.
The yin and the yang. The Cajuns keep rolling, 14-1. Georgia State, 1-14 overall. Texas State holding on to second. Three-way tie for third between Troy, ULM, and South Alabama. James Madison, Southern Miss, the only other teams over 500. Everyone else just under the 500 mark. I think this is a 2, maybe 3 bid league by the time we finish up in San Marcos for the Sun Belt Conference Championship.
Who gave the Cajuns that one loss?
That was Texas State.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Wow. Yeah, because the Cajuns looked unstoppable. So it's,
and they got shut out in that game 5-0.
Wow. All right. Well, you can. This goes to show that you can always have a bad night.
But they did make it another series win to make it like something like 7,000 in a row.
Yes.
Yes. When it comes to collecting series wins, the Cajuns are unparalleled. Nobody can hold a candle to those guys. Those girls. I can say guys, because I'm from the North, and a guy is just a girl or a guy. There's no gender attached. Yeah. So don't save your letter writing for somebody else, angry public.
Yeah. You're Midwesterner, right?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't consider yourself. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. You guys is just y'all.
Yeah. Y'all, let me tell you something. Y'all is a far superior way to say a collective group of people. Y'all come on in. You know, you guys, not so. I love y'all. Y'all works, man. Tibbs, back me up on this.
Not in the least bit. Because.
Why?
The smart girls are out on the course right now in Point Clear, Alabama for the Sun Belt Conference Championship. We have an individual champion.
Yeah.
Haley Jones of Texas State shot 5-under to claim the individual championship. We're now into the final four of the team leaders with Texas State, Georgia Southern, ULM, Old Dominion getting set to battle it out for the automatic qualifier that ULM won last year.
Yeah, you were very excited about that.
My other note, guys, I am going to South Alabama to play women's golf. They finished the team portion plus 164. I'm going to be a collegiate golfer.
Yeah, you should do that. But listen, that's all great. I'm glad you delivered that information, and you did it in a way that was very professional. What does that have to do with you guys or y'all?
Because y'all aren't in the postseason. For golf.
Oh, okay. Nice segue.
I do what I can. What else do you want to talk about there, Jeremy?
I'm ready for promos and practical jokes, whatever we got.
Plugs, promos, and parting shots.
That's right. That's what it is. The three P's of life.
Shane, since we can't see you, and we can't see that you're reading off of a cue card, please give us your plug, promo, parting shot.
Well, I'll plug dnronline.com/sports to read various things. My parting shot is going to be that I like the practical joke idea. If we're going to let's add a P.
A fourth
throw
P.
Some practical jokes in there. I don't know exactly how you do it in this format, but... I'm open to trying some practical jokes in this part of our glorious show.
Speaking of practical jokes, Jeremy, would you say that Alabama is probably the biggest fan base in all of college athletics?
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me think. Okay, because I think Ohio State could probably give them a run for that money. But, yeah, probably Alabama.
And what is Alabama's mascot?
It's either like an elephant or just a pool of water.
I've never seen a pool of water, so we'll go with the elephant.
Okay.
To tell you how big Alabama's fan base is and how rabid these fans are.
Right.
What looked like a normal afternoon in Montana turned into a literal circus when an elephant decided to escape the circus and roam the streets of Butte, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
All I can picture is somewhere there was a guy that was out there for work, maybe had retired out there, saw the elephant, and broke out a huge Roll Tide as the elephant trampled down the street.
It's possible. Now, did you dig deep? Did you do some investigative journalism and discover if there were any, indeed, if there were any Alabama fans in attendance?
No, there were just other F-bombs being dropped. And it was a deeply religious experience with people going, holy, you know the rest.
Oh, there's an elephant in the... What do we say we put that elephant on the offensive line, Paul? I'll hang up and listen.
That's all I had for you.
All right. Well, what about me? You want to ask me?
Jeremy, please.
I need to say.
Give us your best Roll Tide impersonation, Paul.
No, I won't. Based on just only because, you know, I have integrity. Absolute loyalty to the Sun Belt and only to the Sun Belt. All right, guys, here's the thing. I can do one of three parting shots.
Always go in the middle.
I'm going to leave it up to Shane because I think just one guy should pick. And Tibbs, you know, you're sort of the overseer. You know, you're sort of omnipotent. You're like up in the sky. Shane's kind of down on my level. You know, just two rugged, handsome guys trying to get by in this world. So anyway, Shane, are you ready to pick?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number one, I can rant and rave about ESPN getting into sports gambling. Two, I can rant and rave about a certain reporter's question to Caitlin Clark, or his behavior towards Caitlin Clark at a presser today. Or three, I can give a nuanced and sharp review of Ripley, the new series that's on Netflix about Thomas Ripley, con man, and murder.
Let's go with number one.
My ranting and raving of ESPN and Bet ESPN. Okay, so you saw today where a certain basketball player, whose name I forget, played John for Tay. Who?
Jontay Porter.
Yes, Jontay, that's right. Ended up getting a lifetime suspension from the NBA, reportedly because he was giving out some inside information and maybe himself kind of faking injuries or what have you and betting against the team. That's the ultimate sin, right? To bet against your team. You know, Pete Rose sort of got like a pass in a way because he said, oh, I never bet on against the Reds, he would say. I was like, okay, well, you know, at least you didn't bet against the Reds. But here's where things to me get dicey. We're talking about him having inside information and therefore he's able to make a profit off betting or just skew betting in general. Now we have the worldwide leader in sports, the one entity that has their fingers in every single locker room across the United States for professional sports, right? They've got all the information they could possibly need on the inside. Shane, how many times have you had a little inside information about teams that you're covering that you just didn't release because it wasn't really meant for public consumption?
Occasionally.
Yeah, you have it, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get allowed into a practice, like on the condition of like, hey, you're not going to report on what you saw in this practice. So you know somebody's hurt and you can't say it because you made this agreement that maybe you wish you hadn't. But yeah, those kinds of things happen all the time.
Yeah. Or how many times have you just gone up to a coach and said, hey, you know, how's Ricky doing? Oh, well, don't tell anybody, but I think he's going to be out for the season. You know, you use some integrity, right? But my God, the money here that's involved in gambling is in the billions of dollars, fellas. And here we have a whole group of people with this insider information who are supposed to be impartial. They're supposed to be journalists, guys. I know we laugh a little bit when we talk about ESPN being journalists, but by God, they're supposed to be journalists. And now they're this close. They're side by side, hip to hip with gambling. Why doesn't anybody find this to be icky? Why doesn't anybody find this to be a huge problem, a scandal that is just on the cusp of the horizon? Why isn't anybody saying, hey, listen, we got to vest gambling from sports journalism? Because that is just gross and disgusting. And that's my parting shot.
Jeremy, I just wonder if I can get a Jontay Porter signed basketball that says, I'm sorry, I bet on basketball, much like my Pete Rose baseball.
That would be a collector's item.
Yeah, he might. That might be his career path now on.
Hey, good show, guys. I mean, even with what Shane fucked.
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart Pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.